Hello, my precious, precious podcast listeners. Just before we start this episode, I just want to give you a heads up that when we were recording this episode, two interesting technological things happened. The first technological thing that happened was that Michael Hing on his end recorded all of our voices because we were in different locations across the country. And I say across the country, me and Hing were probably about 5 kilometers from each other in Sydney, and Luca was in Melbourne. But anyway, Hing recorded his audio and also part of the Zoom call, which means that the first like 3 to 4 minutes, me and Luca don't sound so flash. What I could have done is used that track where it's Hing has a nice voice and then me and Luca don't, and used our audio every time we talk and then ducked out the Zoom audio. But like, honestly, I'm not going to do that. That would take so long. And you know what? You guys can just put up with us sounding like not amazing. You can still hear the words. Could you get off my back for like a second? Okay. The second thing that happened, you guys, is that Luca from Melbourne, he didn't notice, but after about 41 minutes, his Zoom recorder filled up with audio. It's just to the brim. Which means that his audio cuts out after 41 minutes. So there's like 10 minutes of this pod where you're not going to be able to hear Luca. And rather than just put out a baffling conversation with me and Hing where you can't hear the third party, I thought we'd just sort of round it out at 41 minutes. Interestingly though, the first technological problem would have solved the last one if Hing hadn't fixed it after 3 minutes. But you know what I mean? That's just how life goes. Thank you all for listening to this show. And it's a real fun app. I can't wait for you to listen to it. If you want to chat with other people about this show, there's a real fun Discord. It's like a sub Discord of Michael Hing's Discord for Michael Hing Freaks. You can find that. Oh, I don't fucking know. He has it pinned to some thing on his Instagram, and you have to battle wits with a dragon or something to get the URL. But you know, you can find it if you really want to join the Discord. We tend to make it as difficult as humanly possible for you to do so, but that's because the only people there are pure of heart. All right, here's the app, guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the internet's greatest and most successful Brave podcast. My name is Michael Hing. Yeah, that's what it is now. That's our new thing.
Right.
My name is Michael Hing, and joining me, as always, is a man who doesn't seem very brave today, it seems. Ben Jenkins.
Hello,
Ben.
Doesn't seem very brave today.
Well, I just said we were being very brave, and you were skittish about it.
I made a whimpering noise. You're not wrong. I'm about to do something very brave after this podcast record, but I'll fill you in when we bring in our delightful guest.
Well, let's bring him in, shall we? He is obviously one of the all-time great guests here on the podcast. I think because he had some sort of interaction with a foot fetishist, which I think we found quite amusing. He runs several comedy shows and stuff in Melbourne. His brand new show.
Yeah, he lives in Melbourne, which I learned today. I thought, because the only other time I've met Luca, I met him in Sydney.
Don't say his fucking name until I introduce him, all right?
No, I think this is good because they're like, Luca who?
Who the hell? Which one?
Who could it be? The one from the song? The lady? Is
the
it the
basketball?
Lady from the song? Do they have the lady from the song?
It is Luca Muller.
I really G'day, built Luca, up that I might be the lady from the song.
People are going to be tuning out en masse. They'll be so pissed off that it's not the lady from the song. I'm quite good, man. How are you boys?
Yeah, we're pretty good, man. We're pretty good.
Yep.
Hing just slandered me by saying I'm not brave. Hing and Luca, would someone who's not brave go bouldering? Now that I say it out loud, potentially they would.
And almost
exclusively they would. Yeah.
Bouldering is the coward's rock climbing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who are you going bouldering with? Because I certainly wasn't invited. Benjamin?
You weren't. I'm going bouldering with friends of the podcast, Demi Lardner and David Harmon.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Which I believe Demi- also now means that we're in a polycule. So,
Demi and Dave, I'd say both quite cowardly. Both quite cowardly. I think you are going
Demi
for the cowards.
Demi is very brave. Demi has berserker bravery. You know what I mean?
Oh, she's very stupid. I don't think she's brave.
Good at rock climbing. She's very good at bouldering.
Yeah, and I can imagine
Yeah,
her.
I've seen her posted on her Instagram story before. That's intimidating. Have you done it much before, or are you just dipping your toe?
This is the first time I've ever done it.
Damn.
I've done rock climbing where like you have the rope and your dad hoists you up there.
As an adult?
I've not scaled a rock face as an adult.
Right.
I don't think. Maybe a uni man, Scott Huntington, used to do it a bit. But
Luca, you're a bit of a fitness freak.
Yeah, Luca's probably the buffest person we've had on the podcast.
Yeah,
surely not. What about Michael Hing? He's pretty buff these days.
How dare you? How dare you? How dare you bring my disgusting body into this?
Maybe Tommy Walks at the height of his deadlifting was pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think generally speaking, we only get Tom on the podcast when he's in sort of a real trough of both mental and physical fitness. Do you know what I mean?
You know, when Tom was doing his deadlifting a lot and I was thinking about getting into it myself, I said to him, Tom, is it true that like you can shit yourself while deadlifting? And he like, without like skipping a beat, was like, it's not an if, it's a when, Ben.
My trainer recently showed me a video. She recently showed me a video of a woman deadlifting, and while she was deadlifting, she was wetting herself, but just kept doing reps. So just pissing.
Did your trainer show you this to inspire you because you were being cowardly about something?
Yeah, basically. I was saying like, I'm a bit worried about dropping the weights or something. And you know, just like everyone looking at me. And she's like, check out what happened here a couple of weeks ago. And then
this was in the gym.
This is at the Inthorpe Aquatic Center. Yeah. Oh, sorry. But maybe I shouldn't say that. Oh, well, doesn't matter.
That's where my son learned to swim.
Yeah. And she,
we were there to Michael and Luca. I was there today.
Oh no!
In that building where this piss happened.
Look, and the lady, the fact that the lady wet herself while deadlifting, fine, whatever. It was the fact that she kept going with the reps that really got me. Like,
she's already wet herself. She's not going to unwet herself by stopping lifting weights. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's not going to schlup it back up there by putting the weights down.
That's true.
Was this? I feel like you did piss yourself and then wanted to stop, and your trainer was like, "Mate, that's not what we do here. That's not how we run things."
Let's see how we do things here at the Inthorpe Aquatic Center.
Piss is just weakness leaving the body.
Luca,
you're a buff fellow.
Mm-hmm.
That was a weird.
I was going to transition
in voice. Just
I was going to transition into asking Luca about his comedy show. But
I want to ask him about his roofing muscles.
I saw a guy. I went to the gym this morning, right?
And this is classic Luca. I went to the gym. You know what I mean?
There's a guy. He wasn't there this morning, but there's a guy who's often there. This real old Japanese guy. I would guess like mid to late 60s, and he always wears a full Lycra kit.
Hell
he wears
yeah.
this little sort of Lycra singlet that unzips in the middle, and he unzips it about halfway down his chest. And then he wears full tights, and he wears the toe shoes where each of your toes gets an individual little section.
Yep.
And he wasn't there, but then I went to a cafe afterwards and we've never spoken. I've noticed him at the gym maybe 10 times or something like that.
Yep.
Never talked to him, no interactions. Then I went to a cafe after the gym and he was there. And as I walked in, he went, "Oh, hello, mate."
Oh, it's like seeing a teacher out of school.
Yeah, it really was.
Did you freak out, or did you play it real cool?
Luca went fucking ballistic in the cafe.
Yeah, I was pissing and take those shoes off.
But also, Luca, you're what, 3-4 shows into the comedy festival now? How's comedy festival going this year?
Man, it's awesome. It's been real good so far. So I'm just waiting for everything to come crashing
That's
down.
That's funny,
because
I've spoken to some other people who are having a real bad year this year.
People seem very stressed. And I think it's because the ticket sales are coming in late because of COVID. Like, who would ever dare to plan ahead?
Sure.
So
yes,
they're sort of coming in day off, which is causing a lot of panic for a lot of people, I think.
What's your show about? Just give us the one sentence view of your show this year. Because I think
if you want to do a paragraph, you can do a paragraph.
No.
You don't have to. We're not.
Single
we're not. Studio
sentence.
Fat cats asking you to fucking pitch to us. You know, you take
give
your time.
Give me the elevator pitch.
Well, just give me an elevator pitch, but it's one of those elevators in Dubai that take like a long time.
It's in that Burj Khalifa. It's in some sort of 800-story tower.
Yeah, you take your time, Luca.
It's a comedy show. I actually did set out in the lockdown to write a full show, a full hour of comedy about the guy in the Guinness Book of Records who ate an aeroplane.
Yeah,
that was my idea because I was severely mentally ill while locked down. I reckon I got about 5 minutes of material and then I was like, fuck this, I don't want to do this anymore. And so it's a normal stand-up show about me and asexuality and whatever, and then in the middle there's 5 minutes about that guy, and that's good.
Had you already named the show though? So it's called like Luca Muller only talks about the guy who ate a plane.
That you're talking about very personal sex life stuff as well.
I didn't put it in the name, but it is in all the marketing and my registration for it and stuff like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah.
Luca.
Well, you're going to get some real, plane heads in the crowd. But you said it's gone well. So like maybe either they haven't come back or the show is so good that even, I think I must have spoken about this on the podcast before because this was a very formative moment for me. Possibly more so than the birth of my child, but when I saw Pirates of the Caribbean 2, which I think is the Dead Man's Chest.
Yeah. Dead Man's Chest.
Well, I remember the important thing is it was the one with the Kraken in it. And
is that 2 or is that 3? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yes.
I was sat next to a lady who was like scowling from like the first frame. Like and I was thinking, this is weird. She's not even giving this movie a chance. And it's like, you know, it's not as good as the first one, but like she came in like angry. You know what I mean? She came in by herself and angry at this movie. Yeah. And she sat there with her arms folded and like actively frowning. It's quite hard to like actively frown those muscles.
Yeah, you're putting in effort to do that.
Yeah, she was doing that the whole movie, except whenever the Kraken was on the screen, she beamed from ear to ear. It was like it was a totally different person.
That's so amazing.
It's a pretty fun monster, I would say, Kraken.
Yeah, I guess so. I think it elevated an otherwise like reasonably enjoyable film, but I wasn't like seething whenever the Kraken wasn't on screen. Mm.
Do you reckon she's a big like hentai, like tentacle fan, and she thought, great, finally it's burst into the mainstream cinema.
Yeah.
And yet it doesn't get any fucking screen time in this movie.
Yeah. There's no romance there.
There's no tentacle Avenger, you know?
Yeah. It's, or she's like the Kraken's auntie or something. but Luca, I just wonder if you're going to get the equivalent of that lady, but with plane eating people.
Yeah, true, true. Because you said before plane heads, and then I was thinking, no, I think plane heads would hate that guy because he's...
It's not what they're for.
I think that
food.
It's
one of the worst things you could do with it.
One of the obviously biggest comedians in Australia, Tommy Little, is doing a show this year at the festival. I think about how he learned to fly a plane. And I think you could actually position yourself as the anti-Tommy Little because your show contains material about a man who ate a plane. So if all the fucking aviation nerds go to Tommy Little's show / Terrorists in Training, let's be honest, they could go to Tommy Little's show as well.
Oh, they can do whatever they want, you know what I mean? The laws being such as they are.
Just one final question on your show, Luca. Is it, because you've mentioned it when you were chatting about there that the show does involve you talking about your asexuality. Is the pivot between eating a plane and asexuality, is that sort of on a dime turn or is it sort of a... How do you pivot from one of the stupidest things in the world to a very personal thing that you live with and experience every day?
Fuck, I just got the fear in me. I thought you were going to say one of the stupidest things in the world to eating a plane.
Yeah, I was thinking that too and I was like, fuck, we're going to have to deal with this on air. We're going to have to just absolutely destroy Hing on air.
How do you deal with some absolute bullshit and also eating a plane, huh?
No, yeah, it's very... It's probably about 20 minutes of asexual gear in the show and it all happens. And then right after that is when I do the 5 minutes of plane eating stuff and then I go back to normal shit.
Do it as a sorbet between courses.
Yeah, yeah. A little numbing popcorn.
Hey, can I ask you, Luca, how long did it take the guy to eat the plane?
It took 27 years.
And was it like a little like Cessna or something?
Yeah, it was a Cessna, and people often bring that up as though it matters.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not being like. Oh, well, I can fucking do that.
But for some reason, we do have that human instinct to be like, "Wow, small plane.
It's got a light plane, a light meal." Yeah. Is he the same man or a different man to the guy who ate the train?
Different man, but they have the same condition.
hang on.
Eating transport or like, do you mean like metal acidic stomach? What are you talking about?
I didn't realize this was a response to something in the brain. Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, everything is a response to something in the brain when you think about it. But like,
no, this is divine. No, they have. There's these people who have, yeah, these stomachs that can sort of break down an insane amount of stuff, and without really making them that sick. And connected to that, they have an impulse that makes them want to do that, and that's sort of how they find out.
Yeah, because I was going to say, how would you ever learn that about yourself?
Yeah,
yeah, they're just driven to, like this guy Michel Letito, the plane eater. He started
by
eating, like,
right? He's French.
Yeah, absolutely.
That just makes it so much better for me that he's French. Because obviously that means he was going to snooty restaurants and asking for planes and stuff. Bring me a small box made of metal, please, that I could eat.
Luca, where can people see your show?
And it's at the at the Cooper's Inn. Just go comedyfestival.com.au and search for my name and it'll come up.
Hell yeah.
But it's only got like a week left, so get into it.
Damn. Oh, wow.
All right. Short run for Luca. Well, with the demand that you'll get after the Free to a Good Home bump, maybe you'll do an encore season or something.
Michael.
I would love that. And I'll be doing it in Sydney as well. That you could come to that.
Oh, hell yeah. Benjamin, this is a podcast, Michael, where we go through the week's classifieds to find the best and worst things to talk about. Do you have one you want to start us off with?
Yeah, I do, man. I do want to, I also want to talk about our Melbourne show, but we'll do that later. But you know what, Michael? We're not going to do it at the very end because I have a feeling these snakes who listen to our show go, here come the plugs, turn it off and put on, you know, cereal.
It's true.
Or whatever. You know what I mean?
They're still S-Town. Listening to cereal.
Yeah, they're still listening to S-Town, which is weird. So we're going to do that later. But yes, Michael and Luca, I do have one. This is a nice short and sweet one. It was sent in by one of our listeners. Whose name I have available to me.
And what is it, Ben?
The name of the person?
Yep, who sent it in, Ben?
And that's you want, like, the first and last.
You said you've got that name available.
Yeah, I do. I'm just wondering how you best want me to deliver the name to you.
Just with your mouth as words.
Just vocally?
Yep.
Give a name and then surname.
Okay, first, and we want, not like on a library card? Where
no. Just say it into the microphone, Ben, because you obviously have it.
Alex Zeri. There it is. It's Alex Zeri.
He's done it.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex, for sending this in. This is a very short and sweet one, guys.
Uh-huh.
It just says, it's a picture of two doors.
Uh-huh.
They're glass doors. They're from KFC. they are detached from a KFC building.
Oh.
Like it's a context that you very rarely see KFC doors.
Yeah.
They're like up against a wall.
And it has all of the KFC trappings on, like obviously has the branding, but it's got like the opening hours. It's got the alarm number
which
to call.
Obviously didn't, which I question.
It's got like the chub lock. It's got the American Express pull to open situation. It's got it all.
Yeah. It's got, these are in no uncertain terms, the front doors of a KFC. They're not automatic. I want to say, this was listed. Oh, Luca, let me ask you. I'm going to put it to you because you don't have the image in front of you, so you can't cheat like a snake. this is listed in Brisbane, Queensland about a week ago. How much would you pay for these doors?
Ooh, how much would I pay or how much do I think they're asking for?
Well, okay, let's do the first question first. How much would you personally pay for these doors? Look, seems like the comedy festival's going well. You're flush with a bit of cash. How much would you personally pay for KFC doors? You know, that number can be zero. I'm not.
Yeah, I have little to no desire to own them. But if they were on the market for $50 to $100, I'd have a hard time saying no to that.
Okay, that's interesting because they have asked for $100 Australian for these doors.
Ooh, but, top end of my bargain.
But here's the thing, mate. Here's the thing. I think a lot of people are of your mind because they've had to lower it. to $20 Australian.
$20.
That's $10 a door.
Wow.
$10 a KFC door because they are separate doors.
Surely the materials alone are worth $20. You know,
Mate, if you got it, if you got it for scrap, you know what I mean.
What would I do with KFC doors if I had them? I mean, obviously you'd put them into your house that is themed like a KFC.
Yeah.
Or I guess if you own a KFC, that would be useful as well if you need to put in some extra doors.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it and you know how they kind of update the kernel every now and again? You know how they give them a bit of an update?
Yeah.
Sexify
them. Yeah, the queer eye guys come and they do it. they queer eye the kernel.
Which kernel is this?
I think this is the present day kernel. I think this is the present day iteration of the kernel. sorry, guys, my son's just run into the room. Mo, do you want to talk into the microphone?
Hello,
okay,
Mo.
You can come in here.
Hello, Mo.
Hello.
Do you want to say hi to Luca and to Michael?
Hi.
Hi, Mo.
It's Mo's first podcast.
Mo, do you want Daddy to buy new doors for the house from KFC?
Yeah.
Okay. They're only $20. You think that's a good price?
Yeah.
That's a good price?
$20.
Yeah. Okay, buddy. Well, can you say bye to Michael and Luca because I have to keep working?
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
See you, buddy.
That is so sweet. I have very fond memories of when we did the podcast in Sydney at your home and we had to swap rooms halfway through and go down into Mo's room and we were all sitting on the floor on little baby furniture.
That's right.
I love that.
Michael, $20 for these doors.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
You know what people sometimes do with doors? They turn them into tables.
Ooh, a coffee table of a KFC door.
Now, I don't think it'd be very good because looking at this photo, it has like at least three levels of surface.
Sure, there's
the glass level.
Yeah, there's the steel frame. There's the handle.
The handle. Mm.
I think I would use it maybe to hit someone with. Is there a person who you could throw this at and it'd be ironic and funny? Who is there an evil person?
Ronald McDonald. You could beat Ronald McDonald to death with
throw
some
him
KFC.
Through it.
Yeah, you could bring the Hamburglar to justice this way as well.
Yeah, you could like launch Grimace off a roof through the door.
Now, you're right. None of these people that we're describing are real. I think it would be too many layers, but you could probably take Mergen Spurlock to town with one of these.
Is he the guy who ate McDonald's every day
for
a year or something?
Yeah, but I think that's too many steps. I think even as you were beating him to death, he'd be like, no, but I'm the McDonald's guy. And you'd be like, yeah, I know, but like they were selling, but this is in some ways like even more insulting. And he'd be like, I guess it just feels like this is a hat on a hat.
I can't remember the last time I ate KFC. I'm trying to think now. I reckon I got the chips in 2012. That might have been the last time I had KFC, I think. I know one of Hum's many refuges from me being annoying is she will, in her words, go and rage eat KFC till she passes out.
You must be really fucking annoying.
I mean, you can tell, can't you? You can tell, obviously.
Imagine these like workers at your local KFC like seeing her come in with that look in her eye and being like, fuck.
All right, yeah. Hing's asked her to play another board game, has he? Well,
yeah, we're gonna need a family pack and a stretcher.
I don't want to delve too deep and make you, you know, air your dirty laundry, but what sort of things would you do to drive her to that point?
It's classic stuff for me that I am, broadly speaking, a very negligent person in my life and also afraid of all germs. So it'll often be like us planning to go to a dinner or a party or something, and then last minute, me deciding that someone there has definitely got COVID and I'm definitely not going, and then her having to go by herself to an event, which is obviously unfair on her. She's got to go to these things by herself. And then on the way home, rage eating KFC, as a result of that, or literally be like me playing Elden Ring too loudly or something. I mean, there's any number of things I could be doing.
Yeah, this is kind of endless. I'm having dinner with Hum this week.
What?
This coming week. Yep,
and again,
I am.
At this point, I'm not even invited to these things anymore.
No. And we were trying to decide where to go, and I think maybe we'll go KFC.
You could both rage eat over how furious you are at me
in your absence.
Can I share one with you guys?
Yes,
please.
You may, Michael. And
excellent.
Do you know what, Michael?
What?
I insist. But before we do that, we're going to take a real quick break to listen to an ad. Here it is.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And that, if that was an ad, we think we've got our, like, we think we've got our things sorted, Michael. Like, we think we've worked out what we've told the advertising people they can't advertise. But if that was an ad for joining the army, yeah, we beg of you, do not do that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but when you want to advertise on your podcast, they send you a big list of everything, of all the different categories of ads they'll have. And some of them are like laundry detergent or like a gaming mice or whatever. And you've got to click the things you want. One of them was hate speech, I think. Another one was crime.
No, yeah, war crimes.
War crimes. Right. Yeah, like I don't want that advertised on our podcast.
Well, and I still really struggle with what that would even be. But we did opt out of that. It's very funny that you have to opt out, but we did opt out of that. I think most people do. I've never heard an ad for war crimes on a podcast.
Yeah, what is that? You like listening to three fellas mucking around by these hollow point bullets.
So, Michael, we've done our ad. We've told people not to join the army.
Yeah, obviously. Yes. In fact, whatever product it was, we don't endorse it. Now,
Michael, because that could have been an ad for not racism. So.
Oh, damn. All right. Well, that's the thing.
We did tick that box.
Having said that, so the way they do it is they find out whatever data they can about you based on, I don't know, your phone or whatever the fuck. I don't know how it works. And they try and serve you an ad like Facebook or Twitter or whatever does. Yeah. If you're getting an ad for not racism, if you've been targeted, actually been targeted and the advertising people are like, this person needs an ad for not racism. Yeah, I reckon I don't want you listening to a podcast anyway.
Yeah, that's on you. I'm comfortable saying that. Fuck off if you got that ad.
Yes. Now I have a little ad I want to read here that was sent in by about six different people from the Sydney Rough Trade Group. Now, I would say of those six people, five of them said, the rules of the Rough Trade Group are you're not allowed to screenshot it. So don't tell anyone that we sent it in. So I won't reveal the names of the people who sent it in.
Okay. But what is Rough Trade?
I think it's like a buy, swap, sell one, but it's like an anything goes one, I think.
Why would they have that rule? Do they know about this podcast?
It's not just this podcast. I think I think it's more just like they don't want to get screenshotted in other groups and stuff where people make fun of, people doing it. But before I get into it, I will just tell everyone there are a couple of tickets left for our Melbourne International Comedy Festival show on the 24th of April. Guests include Guy Montgomery, Zoe Coombs-Marr, and a third person who hasn't confirmed with me yet. But at least one of the people on stage will have won Best Show at the Comedy Festival for. So that's pretty fun.
And we won't say who the third person is, but can I just say you will have some elevation when you listen to this person.
I think we could say that not only will I have elevation, but you too will have elevation.
And if you come on this bloody Sunday show to
let's just say you'll be on the edge of your seat.
it's Bono, you fucking moron.
Oh shit.
Why was Elevation the first song I could think of from the most famous band in the world?
It'll be quite a beautiful day.
There we go. Probably the better one.
All right. This was posted in Rough Trade Sydney 2. And if you guys want to find it, it's in the drive. It's under it's entitled Butt Plug. Now, you can see the image there. It's sort of a clear plastic butt plug that's just there. It's about it's slightly bigger than a regular size Bic lighter. So it's I would say, I don't know, it's about 10 centimeters tall, maybe 3 centimeters wide. And
is that a regular size or is it a small lighter? think it's a big one, right?
It's a tiny one. Very cool.
Yeah, it's got to be a normal size.
Yeah, I think it's a regular size. Yeah.
I've not really delved into the world of butt plugs, but that seems big, right?
Well, here's the thing, Luca. This person writes, honestly, cannot believe I'm posting this, but I know this is definitely the place for it. See through me, butt plug. So it's a see-through butt plug. Never once used because I completely misjudged how big it was when ordering it. The lighter has been included for scale. Very intimidating. Trade for some other sexual toy. That big. And it's located in Sydney. Now, the first comment you can see underneath that is from someone called Vivian, who just writes, "You call that big?" And then if you look at the next screenshot, which is butt plug two, you'll see a series of people who are just calling the original person a fucking coward for their tiny butt plug. Neil writes, "That's the problem with young people today. No ambition."
That's amazing. And somebody's just like tagged somebody as if like, hey, get a load of this clown with this tiny butt plug.
Paula writes, "It's only intimidating once." And then Oni writes, "That's not big. This is big." And has shown, posted a picture of their own, quite frankly, bigger than a hand butt plug, which is this giant
like
thing.
That's like an enormous yam.
That's sweet potato size.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if anyone here is, Ben or Luke, I don't know if you're in, frankly, the market for the coward's butt plug, the tiniest butt plug that could. But if I was in the market for one, I wouldn't want to buy this one because, you know, if you post in this thing, oh, hey, I'm interested in this, you're just going to have a bunch of people being like, you fucking tiny ass loser. What's wrong with you? You got a DM. Yeah, you got to take it off, man.
Or you're just going to be like, oh, can I have that as a novelty for like a gift as like a really comically small butt plug?
I'm going to be giving this to my friend as a joke because we're always making fun of how tiny their butthole is and how cowardly they are at accepting things into their butthole.
So this is a perfect gift for them to have.
I'm actually friends with the guy with the tiniest beehole on earth. So.
We rinsed about it. It's fun.
Let me just say that he would have a beautiful day with this.
This butt plug will keep him on the edge. That's an edging joke. That's an edging joke about you two.
Yeah. We talk about the edge a lot on this podcast.
I don't think I would recognize him. If he walked into the ABC, I don't think I'd recognize him.
He's got a very distinctive look, Michael.
I'd recognize Bono because of the glasses, but I don't think I'd recognize the edge. Luca, would you recognize the edge?
The edge is beanie and glasses. Is that right?
Beanie, glasses, and a kind of Craig David goatee from memory.
Yeah, I'd know the edge.
I'd know the edge. I've Googled the edge, and what I've found is the...
I think I just described Ali G.
Where's the yellow tracksuit?
Dancing with Dirty Al-Fayed.
That'd be sick if another one of that guy's characters was the edge.
Sacha Baron Cohen, he does Borat. He does Ali G. He also plays guitar in U2.
Very funny in that role, but quite good at guitar.
It turns out The Edge is also, and I've forgotten this, the name of a radio station in Sydney, 96.1, The Edge. And for a long time, The Edge radio station was hosted by a guy I went to primary school with called Mike E. So from Illawong Public School to...
Are you pronouncing the name Mikey in a weird way?
His name's Michael Etheridge, but he goes by Mike E. Anyway, we went to primary school together. He worked at The Edge for many years. I haven't spoken to him since we were in primary school, so 400 years ago. But someone we went to primary school with got in touch with me about a year ago and was like, oh my goodness, how funny is this that you have a radio show and also Michael Etheridge has a radio show? And I was like, yeah, that's pretty funny. And then they were like, I've never listened to your show before. I'm going to start listening to it. I was like, oh, great. And then like 2 days later, they were like, Mike Etheridge is so much better at radio than you.
And for one thing, he's got a radio handle. I mean, I guess your hing is...
Yeah.
You know. Do you guys, speaking of handles, just like, you know, a name just popped into my head when you said Mike E, completely unbidden. It was like a borderline obtrusive thought. Do you Does the name McGee mean anything to either of you guys?
McGee.
McGee. That rings a bell, but I don't know what it is. What is this?
He's an American director who directed like the first Charlie's Angels, and he just goes by McGee. I just tried to Google him to see what he's up to, not realizing that what I was actually Googling was MCG. So
the giant stadium in Melbourne. The 100,000 person stadium. The greatest sporting coliseum in the country.
Yeah. So he's done, yeah, he just goes by McGee, and now he's like kind of like, when he was directing Charlie's Angels, he was like this really young, I'm not going to say cool guy. Now he's just like a fucking 45-year-old guy called McGee. no, like old, like almost 50. The last thing he directed of note was Hachi Machi, The Bad Terminator in 2009. He executive produced the reboot of Turner and Hooch. That's what McGee has been doing.
What? He was the EP on Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch, the reboot.
Oh, they rebooted it. I see.
It was a gritty reboot. doesn't look like it was a gritty reboot. A gritty reboot of Turner and Hooch would be great, though. Hooch mauls people to death. I was about to say, I can't remember if Turner or Hooch is the dog, and then I thought about it for a second. it's likely going to be Hooch. It's the dog.
What's up? I'm Hooch. This is my dog, Turner.
Can I tell you guys, and I'm sure, and fuck it, because I've basically said every word that I've, like every word I know in every order that's possible on this podcast. So I will make no apologies for telling this story twice if I told it like 10 years ago. But I used to work at JB Hi-Fi, guys.
You were at JB Hi-Fi for about a month, I think, were you?
I was at JB Hi-Fi over the entire Christmas period.
Okay, so 2 months then.
2 months, and then I was fired for not stealing what they thought. I've definitely said they thought I'd stop. Luca, what happened is this. We used to be able to take DVDs home to review. You know when they do those fun reviews?
Oh, yeah. That was always cool.
Yeah. And you'd be like, oh, cool. This is an indie store.
write a review for?
I took home Dr. House to review the second season or something.
Dr. House, the Hugh Laurie. His breakthrough role in America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was probably Stuart Little, if I'm honest. That was his breakthrough. Not that I took home.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Anyway, I reviewed it. I put it back on the shelf, and then look at my boss was like, "Did you enter it into the system that you took it and then returned it?" And I was like, "No, I didn't. I just took it with me." And he's like, "Well, then you could have stolen it because Stocktake is always out by one or two." And I was like, "That's insane. Why would I steal a DVD doing that?"
Yeah. Why would I steal a DVD where I can just pirate it from the internet? Because that business model is stupid.
No, I said worse than that. I said, "Listen, you shithead." I didn't say shithead. I said, "Listen, man," because we went back and forth for a long time. And then I was like, "Listen, man, if I wanted to steal a DVD, I wouldn't do it that way. Here's how I do it." And then I sort of like outlined like a reasonably simple but slightly like involved way that I would steal dozens of DVDs that I'd clearly been thinking about.
Some real OJ shit.
Yeah.
If I'd done it, here's how I would have.
Anyway, though, when I was working there, guys, a lady came up to me and said, "I'm looking for a movie." And I really prided myself on being really good at this when they were like, "I'm looking for a movie where this happens. And I think this person," and I was able to be like, bam, it's that. Most of the time, weirdly, I did like most of the time I was like, it's Point Break. What you're thinking of is Point Break. So I don't know why that movie had so much cut through, but not its name, but it was Point Break. But this time a lady came up to me and was like, "Oh, I'm looking for a movie where there's a detective and he's got a dog and it's about the dog and the detective." And I was like, "Turner and Hooch, you're after Turner and Hooch." She's like, "No, I've seen that." And I was like, "Wait, what? You're not looking for a specific film? You're looking for just a film."
You know that classic genre of film where it's a detective teaming up with his dog.
And I was like, "Well, then K-9. She's like, "I've seen that." I'm like, "I think you're out of options, lady." Like,
that's incredible.
One of my favorite things to ask people about is how they would, if they did, how they would have stolen or ripped off their old casual jobs they would have had as a teenager. I'm happy to tell my stories about how to steal things from the bottle shop. But Luca, you've had probably a bunch of casual jobs throughout your life. Have you ever thought about ripping them off or doing a heist?
Oh, yeah. Are we talking in hypotheticals? I've thought about it and acting as though we don't, we haven't done
yes.
it. Or
I imagine what we don't want to do is admit to crimes on the podcast.
No. Not since that Kennedy fiasco.
The thing is, you need a second shooter, okay?
Well, if I also used to work at a bottle shop, and if I would have stolen from there, perhaps maybe in a hypothetical realm, that was always easy. It was always like the cool, the promo stuff, like the stubby holders.
Of course. Anything in a Magnum.
Yeah. The big ones that I got into was 1 year Frangelico, you know, like the hazelnut liqueur that comes in a bottle the shape of a monk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very familiar with it.
Beautiful drink. One year they were doing these Christmas promo candles, and the candles were supposedly going to smell like sort of a nice hazelnutty smell.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I thought, great, let's hypothetically line my pockets with these.
And I'm stealing a bunch of hazelnut candles. It's so funny when you're like 22 and you're like, yeah, this will be great. I'll just steal a bunch of these. And you're like, what the fuck are you going to do with this?
And then I lit it up for the first time, and it's got to be like top 10 worst smells I've ever smelled, I reckon. It was so like acrid and chemically and just an invasion of the nose. And so I just had to dump
I would have expected better of the promotional Frangelico candle, if I'm honest. I would have really, that's really disappointing to me.
Ben and I used to work at a bottle shop, and a couple of things. Obviously, yes, promo stuff. Great, the best. We used to get little tasting samples of different types liquors and stuff. And we worked in
a lot of like plum wine. From
yeah,
Korea.
We worked in like a Korean slash Chinatown part of Sydney, and so we'd often get Chinese rice wines that, frankly, I cannot drink. I just don't have the stomach for it. But also Korean plum and raspberry wines, Bokman Jarjit. They came with this little cute little sort of grenade style, I would say grenade shaped liqueurs
that we often just get fucked
up on as we walked home from the bottle shop. So obviously those, but those are sample cereal. I had to steal those. That's a given. That's an absolute given.
That's why the reps send them out, guys.
Exactly. That's why they send them out.
They send them out so you can steal them.
If I was going to steal booze from the bottle shop, though, what I would do, and bearing in mind I don't drink anymore, but what I would do is what many of the people who worked at the shop do, and that is have an open beer behind the counter and then drink on the job. That's what I would do.
It's a real Ocean's 11 style heist.
A real heist situation. There was a guy I worked with whose name was also Ben, not this Ben, a different Ben, although Ben did work there. I think you'd left by the time I worked with this guy. He was a very troubled individual.
Did you work at the bottle shop longer than me?
Way longer. I was there for like 7 years or something. Yeah, I was there forever. I think you went on I think when you were working doing captioning at the ABC, I was still at the bottle shop, I think.
Is that like the one weird moment in our careers where I've done better than you at a single moment in time? So on that inspirational note, that is where Luca's recording cuts out. And it's a shame because the last 10 minutes of the show were some of the most transcendent podcasting that you would have ever heard. I think it would have probably changed the lives of every single person who listened to it for the better. But as it stands, his recorder ran out of space, and you just have to keep living your horrible lives as it is. Basically, what we talked about in the last 10 minutes were the shows that we were doing. You can check out Luca's show for the next couple of weeks at the Melbourne Comedy Festival just by Googling Luca Muller, MICF. And I go on to say in those 10 minutes that there are a handful of tickets left for our Melbourne show, and we will be selling some brand new merch there. Luca then went on to say that he still has his Frida Will Get Home water bottle, but has put a sticker over the words that say not full of cum, which, you know, is hurtful, to be honest, because we didn't give him that bottle to put a sticker over it, but he still did it anyway. And I guess that just sort of speaks to his character. Anyway, sorry that it is a little bit of a short ep this time round. We will keep an eye and I will start doing backups. I told Demi Lardner that after by the way, this podcast, I did go bouldering as promised. And it was a delight. But I told Demi that I've lost the recording and I've lost one of her recordings before too. And she was pretty mad at me for quite a while on Luca's behalf. So next time I will be doing Zoom backups. I usually do. I forgot this time. So friggin' sue me in a court of law, Demi. If you want to get tickets to either of those shows, please do so. Treat yourself to that. And until next time, and you got to imagine that our guest and Hing are saying this too. Bye. If you like pina coladas, get caught in the rain. If you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes of a cave, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.